precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a great privilege for me to be here and to see you all, to see old friends and new friends. And as our beloved brother has read and said, his bride, his wife, first, she is the bride. And from the time of the marriage, she is the wife. So the German translation says bride in chapter 19 and says wife in chapter 21 and 22. One before the marriage and the next after the marriage. Well, beloved brothers and sisters, may this be a special day for all of us. And as our beloved brother mentioned, that all, especially all ministering brethren, are most welcome. Even our beloved brethren from Cape Town, published Thomas Hilton or Hilton Thomas, whatever, and every other brother who is here today. Usually in meetings like this, I share my testimony, share the experiences I had with the Lord, and also share especially the Word of God. Let me read to you three verses of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And the emphasis is about the scriptures. And every time you read the term scripture in the New Testament, it refers to the Old Testament. The New Testament was not yet written. So it says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In all the scriptures. In verse 32, it says, and they, at least at the end, it says, and while he opened to us the scripture. The emphasis is this, beloved brothers and sisters, that not only did our Lord refer to all that was written about him, but then he shared it first with the two disciples and then with the 11 and those who were gathered with them. And then first to open the scripture and then to open their understanding.
Amen.
Not only to refer to all the scriptures, but then to open their, and today, to open our understanding. It's not enough just to know this is written and this is written, but our understanding must be opened to the things which are written. And I tell you why this is so important. Every scripture, and also be it in the Old and New Testament, is being interpreted. And every church, every denomination understands the scripture in a different way. And if you go to all the denominations, including the Pentecostal denominations, they all have taken the teachings from the Roman Church that were handed down to the Lutheran Church, to the Wesleyan Church, to all the revivals that followed the Reformation. The teaching of the Trinity and the teaching of the triune baptism, they were just taken over, even the Pentecostals. They teach the Trinity. Even the Pentecostals, they baptize in the formula and not in the name. And that is a big problem. And I tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, that now, before the return of Christ, the New Testament church, the true body of Christ, the true bride of Christ, must be restored to where she was at the very beginning. The last and the first sermon must be the Son. The last and the first baptism must be the Son. The last and the first Lord's Supper must be the Son. We are living in a time when all things are being restored. That was actually the direct ministry that Brother Brennan had, because he was the promised prophet. Beloved, there are seats here, please tell the people to come. Well, to make it very, very plain, this is God's time for God's people for the last time. For the last time. This is the last message before the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have to emphasize also in every meeting that the beginning of the New Testament was according to the Scriptures. John the Baptist was a promised prophet. And the supernatural happens right from the very beginning. That was the birth of John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel came down from heaven, entering the temple, standing at the right hand of the altar where Zacharias was serving the Lord and giving the promise, your wife Elizabeth will have a son, call his name John, for he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare his ways. That is Malachi 3, verse 1. And there, only the first part, Malachi 3, verse 1, the first part, confirmed in Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, confirmed in Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, confirmed in Luke chapter 7. Everything God promised in the Old Testament is happening through the course of the New Testament. So, especially about Elijah. let me say this very straight and plain. Everyone who has been with us to Israel knows that when they have the Passover, at the Seder evening, that's the beginning of the week, they had an extra chair and they had an extra cup for Elijah, believing that Elijah must first come before the Lord would come. But there is a problem. The Elijah was not promised to Israel, but to us. And to Israel were promised two prophets, Zechariah chapter 4, the two olive trees, Revelation chapter 11, the two prophets that will come to Israel. That's why our Lord said to the Jews at that time, if you want to receive it, I'm speaking about John the Baptist, who came to the Jews at that time, not two prophets, one prophet, because the Lord had said, I will send Elijah the prophet. And the same applies to us at this time. Not two prophets, one prophet. But to Israel, as I said, the two prophets. Remember the law of Moses. You know the scripture, Malachi chapter 4. And then it says, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Beloved, it's the grace of God, the special grace of God. If our spiritual understanding is opened by the Lord to know where each promise belongs and where and how each promise is being fulfilled, not only talk, but be informed by God Almighty, by the Holy Scriptures, to place everything correctly. Even in the singular, our Lord said in Matthew 17:11, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. The same is written in Mark chapter 9, verse 12. So, because I had the great privilege to know the Lord already in 1948, when many of you were not yet born, I was born again. In 1948, I remember that day very well. And then, of course, to in brief give my testimony, then in 1949, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. There was only one desire in my heart, to serve the Lord who died for me, who loved me, who paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And I began to testify in street meetings and wherever I could about the things the Lord had done in my life. And of course, since 1951, I preached in the local assembly on a regular basis. Then, in 1955, Brother Branham came to Germany and Switzerland. And that was it. I heard the name in 1949 one time, but somehow, when I received a postcard with the announcement, a man by the name of William Brennan will speak in Karlsruhe in August from 2, I just knew I must go. I must be there. Amen. And for a complete week, from one Saturday to the next Sunday, I was an eyewitness, an ear witness of what God has done in our time. Amen. And from that moment, from the first meeting, brothers and sisters, the blind received their sight. Amen. The lame walked, the deaf could hear. Amen. Bible days were there. It was not only the big transparent saying, Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today and forever. It was the reality. We saw it. And from the first meeting, I knew this is a man sent from God, because no one could do the things which are happening here except the Lord God be with him. Amen. So right after hearing him, I had a desire to meet him, to shake his hands. And from that day, from that Monday, the 15th August 55, I was in contact with Brother Branham. I received his tapes on a regular basis from 1958. I grew under his ministry year after year. And then, of course, the times we met, we spoke together, drove in the same car, ate at the same table. So I'm not someone to say something by hearsay, but I'm an eyewitness. I'm an ear witness of what God has done in our time. And I came to know about the promise that God would send Elijah the prophet. I received it. I had no question. And here I have to emphasize again. Please read the three verses again and again. First, our Lord referred to all the places in the Old Testament. And then he opened the scriptures in relation to the fulfillment. And then he opened their understanding, that they might know the scriptures in the right connection by divine revelation. The same is important today. Not to explain, not to interpret, but to believe what and how the scripture says it, and then to have it revealed by the Holy Spirit. I could go into many, many details where things are misunderstood because people don't wait. They speak before the Lord has spoken to them. And beloved, let me emphasize also this point. After the resurrection, not a single unbeliever saw and met the Lord. Only the believer. Not a single time did our Lord, after the resurrection, meet the unbelievers. Only the believers. And beloved, we must be raised with Christ to a new life so that he can speak to us. And remember what the Apostle Paul was emphasizing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, speaking that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. But who is perfect by himself? No one. But if the perfect word of God and the perfect will of God is revealed unto us, we are brought into perfectness by the grace of God, not interpreting, but having the word of God divinely revealed unto us. And the same is emphasized in verse 13 and also in verse 14. Here it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, not in the words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then, beloved, in the next verse, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. There is the problem. The natural man has no access to the spiritual things. We must be in the Spirit, in the Spirit of God. Like John on the Isle of Patmos, he was transferred in the Spirit into all the things he saw and heard. And here also the word should be placed, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the true children of God. At one time, Brother Brennan used a Simeon of Luke, you know. It was revealed to him, or is it called Simon in the English language, who had the revelation that he will not see Christ. He will not die before he had seen Christ. And then the same Holy Spirit who gave that revelation to him led him on that certain day into the temple, and he took the child into his hands and said, Lord, now my eyes have seen the salvation of our God. Let me depart in peace. Brothers and sisters, we must be connected to reality. Our repentance must be a reality. Our new birth must be a reality. The baptism of the Holy Spirit must be a reality. All the experiences our brothers and sisters had at the very beginning must become a reality with us. And we must meet the Lord. When he talks to us, we must recognize, knowing now he's directly talking to me. And brothers and sisters, the Lord never talks to somebody else, even through the preaching. He always talks to you. Not to your sister, not to your... He speaks directly to you. Whenever the word of God goes forth, please don't think about somebody else. Just see yourself. Because the Lord is speaking to you. So, to make it short, and to let you know that this is the end of the time of grace. This is Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom, which must of necessity include everything pertaining to the kingdom of God. Every promise, everything must be in the last message which is being presented to all the nations as a witness. And in this connection, beloved, it's also very important to know the truth. And God is always precise, always precise. And the Word of God is always precise. And even when Brother Branham received his call and his ministry, every time when he speaks about his birth and how the pillar of fire entered the room 2 hours after he was born, and when he gives his testimony, when he was 7 years, he gives his testimony every time you hear this sign. It applies also to what he was told on June the 11th, 1933, at about 2 p.m. And the original words, I wrote them into my Bible. I wrote the original words into my Bible. And there he was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. I don't judge, but I say it for correction's sake. The brothers in the USA have changed this, and they simply make the statement wherever it is found, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent to forerun the second coming of Christ. The word message is not found in that statement. And this is the biggest problem in the message. The changing of what the Lord from the supernatural light. And beloved, it takes us back to the moment when Saul became Paul, and Brother Branham says, the same supernatural light that Paul saw on his way to Damascus was the same supernatural light, the same pillar of fire, the same angel of the Lord. And from that light, which was visible for over 4,000 people, the words were addressed to Brother Branham as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. The message given to you was the forerunner of the second coming. And I tell you why this needs to be corrected. Because after they changed what the Lord had spoken, they claimed that no one has a right to take the message or to speak about message with Brother Branham. Everything has come to an end. Everything is finished, end. And now, even if Brother Frank claims to have a call from the Lord to go from city to city to preach the word, they will say, just a moment. Everything is finished. William Branham was a prophet who forerun the second coming of Christ, and as I said, no one else has a right to claim to have a call, to have a ministry, to have a commission. Everything is finished. But the truth is, not everything is finished. Not everything is finished. God used, Brother Brown, let me say this over and over again, in every meeting. When the Lord said, the message will forerun the second coming of Christ, and I even wrote it here in a very good English, as Brother Branham was speaking, he even made this statement. I wrote it, it's written here. He even made this statement. Not that I would be the forerunner, but the message was the forerunner. I wrote it word for word into my Bible. And these brothers say, no, that's not the correct. Who can correct God? Who is the person on earth to change what the Lord has said? Amen. And by this mislead the people in the message? And this is the problem, beloved brothers and sisters, that we do face all over the earth. That's why we have the many interpretations, because of the change of this one great commission the Lord has given. And let's face it, in Brother Branham's times, we made 7 trips outside the USA. He ministered in 12 different countries. And in those days, his ministry was evangelistic, not teaching, not prophetic, evangelistic, to draw the attention of the people to the message that would follow. And Brother Branham even calls it the bait at the hook. The fish don't see the hook, they see the bait. And Brother Branham says that this extraordinary ministry, and I'm a witness of it, the same ministry that happens in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there our Lord was Son of Man, and the Son of Man, he was prophet, and the Son of God, he is Savior. Amen. The Son of Abraham is the heir of all things. The Son of David, he's king. I just love the Word of God. I love all these different points who show our Lord in whatever context he was shown, in connection with the plan of salvation. When he speaks about Son of Man, he says, you will see the Son of Man going up to where he was before. Never could you put the Son of God in box of them. Because in the Old Testament, he was the Lord, the great I Am. But he had not yet come into the flesh. He was not yet born. It was a promise throughout all the Old Testament, from Genesis 3, verse 15, that the seed of God would come through the woman, and a virgin will conceive and bear a son. The Son was not born in eternity in heaven. The Son was born in Bethlehem, so that we are placed back again through the Son of God into our proper relationship as sons and daughters of God. It's a plan of salvation. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. You know, since the ministry of Brother Branham, this book became a new book to me. And every time I'm reading in this book, something lights up. Something is new, something is fresh, and I'm just so grateful for the Word of God. So let us say this. Now, before the return of Christ, God kept his promise. He sends the Elijah of our day. He gave a message which includes everything. And if somebody comes and tells you that after the ministry of Brother Branham, someone has received this or that special revelation, please don't give ear to those things. Everything that God wanted us to know is revealed in the seven seals. That was the greatest purpose. I was just together with Brother Branham a few weeks before this happened, before the great event on Sunset Mountain. Brother Branham told me in person that he must move to Tucson because of a vision shown to him. And what he saw in the vision became a reality on February the 28th, 1963. And then Brother Branham, on March the 24th, when speaking about the seventh seal, he knocked seven times on the pulpit. You can hear it. And he says, the seven thunders were so great, the whole earth shook. The tops of the trees were cut, and the rocks were moving down the mountains. We were taken in 1968 and 1969 to that place on Sunset Mountain, while Sidney Jackson, my oldest friend in your country, he was with me and we were together, seeing the top trees, seeing the rocks which had come down the mountains. And brothers and sisters, this is the grace of God, that I'm not only talking, I know what I'm talking about. And when we give Brother Branham the right place, which I do always, all over the earth, there is not a preaching where I would not introduce Brother Branham and show from the Holy Scriptures that he was the promised prophet. At the same time, we have to emphasize that the message given to him will forerun the second coming of Christ. God has taken the messenger, but the message remains with us. And therefore, we say it in love, we say it in love. Those who claim that everything is over, even claiming the Lord has come, and whatever is being said, beloved brothers, even at the return of Christ, every scripture pertaining to that great event will be fulfilled. Right to the changing of our bodies and being taken up in a cloud, as the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. The word cloud is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the word cloud. In the same way as our Lord was taken up in a cloud, and the two prophets, according to Revelation chapter 11, will be taken up in a cloud, in the same way we shall be taken up in a cloud. May we read it, so you know we're not only saying it, but the Holy Scripture says it. So we understand from the Holy Word of God that these things will be as they were foretold. 17, I think it's verse 17 in chapter 4. I need a little more light. Yes. Who can read it? Go read it, beloved brother. Come, read verse 17. Yes, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Notwithstanding, the Lord speak with me, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known.
You're not reading right. First Thessalonians 4, First Thessalonians 4, verse 17.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud.
Amen.
Yes. If somebody tells you, I'm already there, no. I always say it. Everything in the kingdom of God, with our Lord, with us, is connected to reality. The resurrection of those who died in Christ will be a reality. The changing of our bodies will be a reality. The going up will be a reality. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be a reality. And this is the preparation time. And let's also finally emphasize the point. Only those who are part of the bride of Christ will hear the voice of the bridegroom. All the others will have their own ways, their own interpretations, but those who are part of the bride, they will be in the same word, in the same spirit, in the same revelation. Everything will agree with us who now believe the revealed word of God. And I must say, I was glad to hear the songs that were sang to the glory of God. Not rumba, samba, but real songs which touch the center of salvation, which give glory to the Lord alone, not to a man. And even with Brother Brennan, we don't glorify a man, we glorify God. And we are thankful to God that in our time He could use a man in such an outstanding way. And as I said, beloved, the grace given to me to know this man for 10 years, to know his ministry, to place it correctly, and there Brother Brennan made the statement, in the days of our Lord, this ministry that our Lord had in Genesis chapter 18, turning his tent, his back to the tent, speaking to Abraham, giving the promise that Sarah would have a son, and she, an old woman, laughed in her heart. You know, ladies sometimes are very close, even if they're in the tent, but they're very close that they can hear. And when she heard what the Lord said to Abraham, she just laughed within herself and thought, I am an old woman, how can this be? How can this be? And the Lord looked at Abraham and said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah was behind him in the tent. How many times did Brother Brennan explain this and said the same ministry repeated with the Jews and the Samaritans, but it never happened to the Gentiles? And then he made the statement, this ministry is the same as it was then, the last sign to the Gentiles, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, this ministry, like when Brother Brennan came to Germany, he didn't speak a word of the German language. But with every person in the prayer line, the Lord showed him a vision. He saw the person. He saw the city they came from. He saw the name. He saw or heard the illness they had. And brothers and sisters, from the first service to the last, we just wept. We wept. When we saw the reality of Jesus Christ, when we saw how God, in such a supernatural way, could use a man, yes, I wept. I just praised God for what I could see and hear during these days, and of course, then in the other meetings in the USA. So, we are not following cunningly devised fables. We are not telling stories. We are informing you that the return of our Lord is imminent. Thank you. We are telling you that God kept His promise. He sent His prophet, and the message granted to him is reaching the ends of the earth. And by the grace of God, in the past 49 years, I could visit 155 countries sharing the precious Word of God. And even right now, where I could not go personally, we have TV ministries in New Zealand, in Australia, in Canada, in the USA, in Russia, in South America. We try to reach this generation with the last call, with the last message. Amen. And by the grace of God, when the last one will be called, the door will close. And those who are ready will go in with the bridegroom, and the others will knock at the door. Today, the Lord knocks at our door. And the Holy Scripture, whoever hears and opens his heart, I will enter in and sup with him. So it is so absolutely necessary to know the promises of God for this day, to know what God has done in our time, to have part in what God is doing right now. And beloved, as I said before, since the time of Reformation, there was revival after revival. But in every revival, even great men of God have taken teachings over and over and over right after this day. But then God kept His word and sent a prophet to correct, to bring back, to put the Word of God in the first place. Amen. And therefore, all the teachings about the Godhead, about water baptism, every teaching was restored. Amen. And all who have an ear to hear will accept it, and they will all be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find confirmed in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Romans chapter 6, back to the beginning. Amen. Back to obedience. Amen. If the Holy Scripture says in Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, then there cannot be two Lords and not two baptisms. No, one faith. The true faith that is anchored in the Word of God. That was once for all delivered to the saints. The one baptism confirmed in the Word of God. I just love it. You know, when you read Matthew 28, slowly, with prayer, then you understand our Lord said, go and teach all nations. Make disciples in all nations. baptizing them into the name. Before I can baptize into the name, I must know the name. Father is not a name. Father is what you are. Son is not a name. So what is the New Testament covenant name? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And they have also loved it. Those have been to Israel. They know. The name Yahweh is the Old Testament covenant Hebrew name. But Yahshua is a New Testament covenant name, which doesn't need to be explained. It's clear within itself. Yahweh Savior. Yahweh, and here Yahshua. Shua means to save. Yahweh Savior. So the Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the New Testament. And therefore he could say, as he was addressed, you're not even 50, and you say that you have seen Abraham. And then our Lord said, before Abraham was, I am. The great I am that spoke to Moses, the same that walked in the Garden of Eden, the same that spoke to Moses. But in the New Testament, the Word was made flesh, amen, dwelling among us, but the same yesterday, today, and forever. In closing, let me emphasize Luke 24 again. Our Lord referred then, and he refers now, to all that is written. Our Lord then opened all the scriptures, showing the connection in the fulfillment. And then he opened their understanding that they might know the scripture by divine revelation and place it where it should be. The same is granted to us at this time. There has never been a time on earth where all the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, everything is placed harmoniously into the Word. No contradiction, amen, no interpretation needed. Everything is right here. Amen. But as we read, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Amen. How many of you wish to be led by the Holy Spirit? Amen. To be inspired by the Holy Spirit? Amen. To have the revelation of the Holy Spirit? Here is the thing, beloved brothers. All who are purchased by the blood of the Lamb will hear the true Word of God. And they will be led by the Holy Spirit into the Holy Word of God. So please take it into your heart. And as I also said, may this be your day. I am not here to claim a special gift or special ministry. I am just here to glorify Jesus Christ, to share the Word of God with you, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit will do the rest. The Lord will save the lost. He will heal the sick. He will deliver those who are bound. In every service our Lord had, it was not only teaching, it was a manifestation of the power of God. In every service Brother Branham had, it was a manifestation of the power of God. What we need right now is not only a restoration of the Word, We need the restoration in reality. Amen. Restoration of all the gifts, of all the ministry. We need a restoration, a total restoration of all things. And I'm sure, because the Lord promised, it was not Malachi who said, I will restore. It was God who said, God said, I will restore. It was not the Apostle Peter who said Elijah will first come. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, surely Elijah will come first. He watches over his word to fulfill what he promised. And we have the privilege to live now, to be informed from the throne of God, by the holy word of God that was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was upon the prophets, upon our Lord, upon the apostles, the same Holy Spirit is upon us today. We're led into all the truth by the same Holy Spirit. Receive it! Receive it! In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us stand and pray together, and not only pray, but thank the Lord for having given you the grace among millions, among billions, to respect the word of God, to respect what God has done in our time, and also have part in what God is doing right now. Be honest, beloved brothers and sisters, if in December 1965 everything was finished, where would you appear? You heard nothing in the 60s about the promises of God. I say this in love, but in love for the children. 1965 was not everything over. It was the end of one phase and the beginning of another. And the Lord is moving on right to the very end, when the trumpet should sound and the voice of the archangel shall be heard, and the scripture will be fulfilled that we shall be taken up to glory. I want you to take it seriously, not to have compromises, not to say this brother is right and this brother is right. God is right. His word is right. And you cannot add anything to the word of God. God has not forgotten anything. Everything is revealed, and we save it. And let me make that statement which comes to me right now. The word of God comes only to a prophet. If somebody from anywhere comes and I have a special revelation, is he a prophet? He is not. And if he is, he's a false prophet. Amen. William Branham was a true prophet. Amen. And everything God wanted us to know was revealed unto him. Amen. And we have received him. Amen. And the divine revelation granted unto us. Say amen if you believe. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Be sanctified in the word of truth. And be sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. For our redemption is drawing near. Accept reality and be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God. Those of you who have not yet received Christ as your personal Savior, this is your time, this is your hour. Would you raise your hand? Everybody closes the eyes. Nobody looks around. How many are here who receive salvation, who wish to have their life dedicated to the Lord? And as the scripture says, only those who have received the Son of God have eternal life. Are there some that we can pray for? Are there some? God bless you, 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 God bless everyone. Have we those in our midst who are sick, who need a touch from the Lord? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. The time has come. The time is here. Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. Dear Lord, we believe in the full salvation, in the full power of God, in the blood that was shed, the blood of the new covenant. And we believe in the word of the new covenant, in all the promises. Dear Lord, I pray that all will receive salvation by believing in you. You shed your blood on the cross of Calvary. You redeemed us. We accept it now. And may all receive divine healing. For by his stripes we were healed. Receive your divine healing by the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And finally, receive divine revelation. Divine revelation. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.